The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health. And today we're going to be talking about a topic that we've touched on quite a few times here on Healthy Ulster Radio, and that is the impacts of climate change. And we've had representatives from a variety of organizations, young people, all talking about the issue from their perspective. But today we're going to be talking about climate change and mental health and what is happening in terms of being able to mitigate the consequences of climate change with respect to mental health by helping people to get empowered to understand the bigger picture, and also how to work locally to make their own neighborhoods and our community more resilient. And we're honored to have with us a special guest, Melissa Everett. Melissa is a PhD and founding executive director of Sustainable Hudson Valley. They are a regional organization whose mission is to speed up, scale up, jazz up, I love that, and leverage progress against climate change, creating communities where people and nature thrive. So welcome, Melissa.
Thank you, Vin. It's great to see you again.
Yeah, it's great to see you. It's been quite a few years. Melissa and I worked together when I was a supervisor down in Marbletown, and she continues to do fabulous work. Let's start off, Melissa, a little bit. I introduced Sustainable Hudson Valley, but before we get into the questions, can you give us a little bit of background on Sustainable Hudson Valley, how and why it came into being?
Sure. You know, I half whimsically tell the story that Manna Jo Green, Ulster County legislator, and I met at a conference and kind of immediately said, we need a sustainable thing. And over the years have figured out what that really looks like. Did a lot of education early on, got involved in some economic development initiatives, really looking at how do you enhance economy, environment, and community and quality of life. And, you know, as we're seeing these days, how do you do that for everyone in an equitable and inclusive way? So we've been, we were incorporated in 2007. We've had deep roots in Ulster County. And, you know, we have the nerve to think we can work regionally with a team of two or three, but with a lot of partners, a lot of collaborators.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when discussions have happened in the past about environmental change and environmental policy and sustainability, there's been this false dichotomy created that economic vitality and community vibrancy are diametrically opposed to business interests and economy. So it's interesting that you say that you put the two together. And could you talk a little bit about that? About why?
Yeah.
What the opportunities are and the costs.
I think we're at a real kind of inflection point, and I'm not the only one who thinks that. The market valuation of a company called NextEra, which is a big utility scale solar company, just ahead of the market valuation of ExxonMobil. And investments are shifting, even large, like New York's pension fund investments are being moved out of fossil fuels because there are so many companies doing renewable energy, doing waste reduction or zero waste, ecological design, regenerative agriculture, local food systems, all sustainable transportation, all that stuff is great, big economic sectors. And so, you know, we don't have to make that choice. And, you know, frankly, we're following Europe and some other parts of the world that have figured this out more quickly. But then again, I don't want to run on, but go ahead.
No, I was going to say that the American economy, I mean, solar, wind, electric cars were really industries were seeded really by American research and development. And we really led the market in those areas. And then seemingly by neglect and, whether intentional or not, or unintentional, just seemed to have seeded those markets to other China and other countries. I mean, we are in competition, but on a planetary level, we should be really working together.
I think we're taking a lot of that back. I have to say, if anybody who travels internationally, you know how real it is. I remember landing in Lund, Sweden for a gathering of my fellow doctoral students. Took a plane to Copenhagen, took a ferry boat across to Sweden, got immediately on clean and fast commuter rail to Lund, where I got off in this big parking lot that had about 200 bicycles and 20 cars. And that was in the 1990s. But I think that, you know, as we turn the corner, as we think about building back better from the pandemic, all that stuff, we don't need to be thinking about just incremental change or cautious steps. We can think about how to do this disruptively, how to reclaim that lead.
Yeah, to create, when you think about in the late 90s, everybody was writing off the American economy, saying, the Japanese are taking over and they're buying up all the real estate. And then all of a sudden, a whole new, the whole technological revolution happened, which created, billions, if not trillions of dollars in new wealth and prosperity that no one had even imagined previously. So, there's so many opportunities and when we're in a time of pandemic, right? So people say, well, that's really the priority now. And we really don't, climate change, we know that's there, but it's kind of in the background. That's not really the case, right?
That's not how I look at it. I mean, climate change is a threat multiplier. It makes everything worse, including vulnerability to new diseases and disease transmission, and including stress, which is not so good for the immune system. The flip side, and why I frame this as a conversation about mental health, although that's not the only dimension of it, obviously, when we deal with it, when we take it on, I find something really good happens in my sense of myself. What we've learned about COVID and logistics and leadership is transferable to climate. What we've learned about building a movement is transferable to public health and wellness. Mm-hmm. I mentioned to you before we turned on the record thing that the American Psychological Association actually put out a study called Beyond Storms and Droughts about the psychological and emotional stress that is widespread because we're seeing the unraveling of our ecosystems. And we are part of that. And we can't look at it and not feel something. Mm-hmm. And so it just strikes me that as we are recovering from the pandemic, as we are kind of processing all the disruption that we've been experiencing, building back better starts to look pretty good. We don't have the option of status quo. Mm-hmm.
Right. Because doing nothing is making a decision to just allow circumstances and events to just carry us at will without any real proactive positive inputs. And it's so interesting because my daughter is 15 and we were talking before the show, she's part of Extinction Rebellion Youth and has been a guest. She and her colleagues have been a guest here. And, when they talk about climate change, they talk about, their futures and their lives and their adult lives and their children. And, you know, and it's very real for them. I mean, whereas we are thinking about it as, you know, we're beginning to think more and more about it as an existential threat, but for them, it's as real as it gets because their lives will definitely be impacted.
Yeah. And all of the skills that they are learning in Extinction Rebellion, from writing a press release to, you know, using social media to organizing meetings, guess what? Those are transferable skills in their careers.
Right. Right. And yeah, being able to rally a team and work together toward, you know, big, big challenges, which even in the business world, you know, no business is doing business by the same rules it did 5 years ago. And that's really maybe changing on a weekly basis these days. And, you know, we're running a little bit out of time for the first segment. So we're going to take a very short break. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about what we can do on a local level, what our communities and can do and are doing to help be proactive and to thrive amidst all of this. But first, we're going to take a very, very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. We'll be back after these words.
At WMC Health, we know emergencies don't wait, and neither should our patients. That's why we pledge to see you within 30 minutes or less at Health Alliance on Broadway in Kingston and at Margaretville Hospital on Route 28 in Margaretville. Our emergency departments offer safe and protective environments and are backed by the full services of our WMC Health Network hospitals, right there if you need more care. If you have an emergency, please call 911 or go to the emergency room closest to you.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. And today we're talking with Melissa Everett, who's founding executive director of Sustainable Hudson Valley. And we're talking about climate change, the impacts of climate change on mental health, on community health and wellness, on sustainability. Melissa, before the break, we talked about the actual impacts of climate change and the impacts on, particularly on young people. But, you know, I always find that, you know, whenever we remind people of big challenges and we don't actually cover what people can do or what they are doing to, you know, to on a positive, proactive level, it fuels despair. So let's talk about what our communities are doing, communities can thrive in all of this.
Okay, let me do this at three levels. So, personal lifestyle, walking and biking, and eating healthy local food. And restoring nature right around us to absorb greenhouse gases. All of that is win-win. You can invest in things like community solar and actually save money on your electric bill. Mm-hmm. At the political level, New York is one of the 25 states representing well more than half of the population that are, we're still in states. When the federal government withdrew from the Paris Agreement, these states said, we're still in, and supporting what's called the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, which is one of the most advanced laws in the country that New York has passed. Vigorously supporting that is critical. But that brings us to the kind of intermediate level, bigger than lifestyle and smaller than policy, is local communities. Ulster County is one of many that have, they're part of the state's Climate Smart Communities program. So they're, you know, getting electric vehicle infrastructure in place. They're, you know, continuing to improve the already amazing trail system. They're, you know, getting government operations into good shape.
Yeah, a lot going on with Ulster County.
I mean, Ulster County is justifiably, you know, really proud of, you know, what has been done. But there are, I have to say that my best sort of the best thing I've ever done for my own kind of sense of mental health is to be involved in this stuff. Because, for example, Marbletown has got 100% renewable energy transition plan in place that we've worked with them on. And it's not just, you know, where do you put the solar arrays? It's how do you get the community involved and make it interesting and financially attractive for households to change over how they heat and cool and get around. So I will plug that on Saturday morning, January 9th at 10 a.m., the Marbletown Environmental Conservation Commission is doing a New Year's resolution Zoom workshop that's going to have all kinds of creative musical and artistic surprises and give people technical support on making their plan to shift to renewables. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of stuff is happening all over. It's happening with local governments, social entrepreneurs.
And it's not just feel good, right? I mean, there are...
Really not.
No, there are economic benefits. There are health and mental health benefits. There are building community benefits. You know, those old false dichotomies of the past are really, they're an anachronism, really.
Well said. I mean, you know, another example for mental health and fun. So one of the unrecognized sources of greenhouse gases is stuff, you know, transporting stuff, manufacturing stuff, landfilling stuff. And so repairing stuff rather than ditching it is a growing movement. The Repair Cafe, you all have probably seen around Ulster County. We're really over the moon happy because that is becoming a sponsored project of Sustainable Hudson Valley. And I will mention John Wackman, who brought that forward, has a new book out with Elizabeth Knight called Repair Revolution. Just looking at I didn't realize the sweeping scale of the repair culture. So there's just a lot that is, you know, I mean, that is resulting in increasing pressure on businesses to design consumer products so that they are repairable rather than designing them for planned obsolescence.
Mm-hmm. What do you say to proponents of, you know, maximum profits in business that, hey, if we don't make more stuff and sell more stuff, then we don't have an economy? What would you say?
I say Patagonia is doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. And Eileen Fisher is doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to maximize profits to optimize your market share and your credibility and the fun that you have in your job. So look around at all the companies that are shifting to a multiple bottom line framework.
Not to mention the potential costs of not doing all we can for, you know, to mitigate climate change, right? Because
the
impacts are already being seen. I just read an article in the New York Times talking about the potential changes in agriculture from droughts and so on brought about by climate change. And there was one study showing that American GDP could drop as much as 36% in the next 50 years.
We don't want any of that.
That was
unattractive. You know, on the innovation side, you know, there are investor groups actually working to help companies divest their portfolios from fossil fuels and put them into regenerative agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
That's game changing. That's huge.
I just watched a webinar last week from the Federal Reserve of New York with some big investment from JP Morgan, others, you know, people from around the country, you know, where they were talking about how investment in renewables and so on used to be like kind of a niche little investment, you know, like a feel good kind of investment thing. But mm-hmm. now it's becoming like squarely at front and center with, you know, and a big part of their business. So really, it, you know, it's a really paradigm shift that says, you know, hey, good policy, caring for the environment, keeping our planet sustainable is also great business. And there's a ton of opportunity for doing it and a ton of cost for not doing it. So let's talk a little bit more about Sustainable Hudson Valley. So what are you working on right now?
We are trying to corral a whole lot of nonprofits and county planning offices and the like to create a regional climate action plan in the coming year. Our co-ringleader is the Hudson Valley Regional Council, which is basically an intergovernmental organization that the counties are part of. And we think that while the state is hammering out its policy framework, thinking what we can actually do, get all of our nonprofits and our governmental agencies and stuff to look at how to grow the work we're already doing and do it in more coordination. So that's a big thing. We are hoping to replicate the Marbletown 100% renewables plan with 3 to 5 other communities and really kind of learn how to make that, how to bring that movement to life in a serious way. Mm-hmm. We have, as I mentioned, the Repair Cafe and looking in more into how to connect that to circular economy efforts. We have an amazing MBA intern who just dropped into our lives to work on that. And we're going to have a biweekly series called Climate Conversations every other Friday at lunchtime, starting January 8th. And then last thing I'll mention, we have just published again the Clean Power Guide. It's a consumer resource. If you are thinking about, you know, maybe now's the time to go solar, maybe you want to know what's the status of EV charging or what's going on with heat pumps, it's published with Upstate House. So it's on upstatehouse.com. But we do always, this is the third annual one, we do a chronogram conversation, which is just a wonderful discussion of what's going on in the field. And so that's going to be January 29th at 4 p.m. And all this stuff, the registration links and flyers and so forth, are on www.sustainhv, as in sustainablehudsonvalley.org. But we have the theme of this chronogram conversation is disrupt. And it is about innovative technologies and business models. So we've got a guy who founded something called Clean Energy Credit Union, which is a new financing.
Wow. Wow. That sounds
and
really
we've got a woman
great.
Who has a new small distributed hydropower design that she's piloting. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be real interesting.
Sounds really great. And, you know, unfortunately, whenever we have a great topic and a great guest, time runs really short and we're almost out of time. So again, remind our listeners where they can get more information, get in touch, get involved.
Great. Thank you, Vin. Sustainable Hudson Valley's website is www.sustainhv.org. We are ahead of the curve, so we welcome donations, but we especially welcome participants in our forums, our community projects. If you think, for example, that your town might be ready to make a 100% renewables plan, do reach out.
Sounds great. Well, Melissa, thank you so much for the great work that you do, your colleagues do, and what you all do on behalf of our community, all of us really, our young people. Ulster County is, I think, way ahead of the curve, thanks to so many dedicated and committed people who do great work. And that's all the time we have for today. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.